Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Side with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. You're going to be glad you stayed with us, too, because our good friend Dr. Don Boudreau is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Don is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. In fact, this is we're now into our 11th year. We just passed his 10th year anniversary in January. We weren't able to get him on back then, but he's already had a 10th anniversary with us as a member of our Brain Trust. He's a dean of the School of Economics at George Mason University, which is a very important position in the world of economics. And he's the author of a book called Globalization. And he's the guy, folks, who introduced me. If you like me, the quotes that I give you from time to time from Frederick Bastiat, you can thank Don for that, because he's the guy who introduced me to Bastiat. He's our good friend. Don Boudreau, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Don, what I'd like to do first is I'd like to give you the opportunity just to talk to my audience. Just, you know, they're at your knee right now, and I'd like for you to give us a little bit of your sense of how we got where we are right now. How did it get here so – how did it surprise so many people? You know, you don't have to go too far into the weeds, but just your overall – perspective on how we got here, if for no other reason than so we can, you and I both know history's going to repeat itself. How can we see this coming in the next time?
Well, first let me begin by saying I think it doesn't speak well of my profession, economics, that very few of us saw it coming, and that includes me. Secondly, let me say the causes are really complicated. No one yet knows all of them, but I do have a finger to point at one major one, and I think that was the loose monetary policy of the Greenspan Fed from 2001 through 2006. They were creating a lot of money, a lot of new money, and that money had to go somewhere, and because of some other policies out there, a lot of it went into real estate, and
yep.
Speculating in real estate, and so that bubbled up, and you know, so not only was the real estate industry booming and the home improvement industry booming, but so too, you know, people, as we know famously now, people using their houses as ATM machines to get home equity
right.
loans,
right.
go out and buy kitchen appliances and marble countertops. So all of those industries are suffering now because that bubble has burst, and that new money that was created a few years ago, it created wrong information in the economy about how wealthy people were. And we weren't mm-hmm. as wealthy as we thought we were. And
right.
we're paying the price now.
Well, you know, and I know you pointed, without saying it, your finger was pointing right at the Federal Reserve Board, the Fed, which at that time was being led by Alan Greenspan, which interestingly enough, this week posted an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal where he basically, in his classic Greenspan speak, Greenspeak as they call it, basically in a desperate and really kind of almost a pathetic attempt to improve his legacy, is denying that the Fed was at fault. Don, did you? I'm sure you saw that.
Oh yeah. I thought it was.
It was. He's been doing that now for some time. It's actually starting to get a little bit old, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it started really back in October when he went before the Congress and said, "Oh yeah, I was wrong about you know,
right.
free markets." You know, look, Greenspan is a smart guy and all that, but some of the best monetary economists on the planet. I'm thinking of John Taylor at Stanford University,
mm-hmm.
Larry White at University of Missouri St. Louis, George Selgin at West Virginia. These
right.
are top monetary economists. They all said, look, and they were saying at the time, look, this money growth is too excessive. And they have documented the excess rate of money growth. And so I think Greenspan is just trying to cover his tracks. But
I'll tell you somebody else that I admire very much, Don, and you may too, Steve Forbes is a regular guest on my show, and years ago, during that same, in that exact period that you were talking about, he, on my show, I mean, I've still got the shows posted on the internet where people can, on my website, where people can go back and hear. Steve was saying the Fed is too accommodative right now. This, all this money is not going to be good for our economy. He was predicting it way back then.
Well, I mean, and you know, and he's a pretty smart, astute guy too. And I think he's right. And it is real. You used the word pathetic. I think it's rather pathetic that Greenspan's trying to cover up. I think what happened, and yeah, I'm just speculating here, but I think what happened is after the tech bubble burst in 2000. Or 2001, whenever it was, whenever the tech bubble burst, I think Greenspan got a little frightened, and he wanted to maintain his image as the maestro. And so he said, "Well, you know, what can we do to keep the economy?"
Well, and don't forget, Don, you got to add on to that 9-1-1.
Well, that's true too. That's right.
I think 9-1-1 was more of an influence on what you just said than the tech bubble was. But you had both of those, bam, bam, one on top of the other, basically only about 18 months apart. And I think that's exactly what happened. And at the time, I think we thought he was doing the right thing. 22, right back after these messages with our good friend Don Boudreau. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you got 5 seconds, you got 15 minutes. We got something for you there. You can read. You can listen to. You can check out our Brain Trust members. Hundreds and hundreds of them. Thousands of archives of past interviews I've done with these very smart people. Thousands of articles that they've written or I've written that you can read and use to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog, my knowledge base. All that's right there, including the body of work that our good friend Don Boudreau has deposited with us over the last 10-plus years. And Don, for over 10 years now, you've been a member of our Brain Trust, and we thank you for how much you've supported small businesses. You do it all the time, but especially here on the show.
I'm honored to have been here that long, Jim.
Yeah, how about that? Over 10 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're glad you're here. Globalization is the title of his book. Don, tell us where the book's available, please.
Well, it's available mostly online. It is available in some bookstores. You can go online, Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and just Google globalization. And not Google it. You know, you search for globalization, you find it.
Yeah, that. Yeah. So check it out, folks. Don, recently... Let's talk about some of the government things, the government steps that are being taken now to try to get us out of what we're in. So here's my thinking. I'm sitting here as a citizen of the United States. I see that I pay attention, so I can see that the government, as you alluded to as we went to the break, had a hand in getting us into this mess. And so it seems insane to me that we're sitting around waiting on the government to get us out of it. I feel like I'm living in bizarro world. Don, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm in that same world with you. I'm looking at the same things and wondering the same things that you're wondering. You know, the whole effort now was this, you know, stimulus plan. You know, so we had one stimulus plan. People forget almost now. A year ago,
yeah,
at the time, it was gigantic. Now it seems like small potatoes, 100.
And that was just to give money back to taxpayers in the form of a check.
Yeah, yeah. And as the best economists predicted, you know, people aren't that dumb. They don't go say, "Oh, wow, I'm really rich now. I'm going to go out and, you know, change my spending patterns." And most of it was saved. And then we had the 700 and odd billion ones under Bush in the fall, and now we have another. Oh, who knows what it is? 800.
And that money went to try to help banks, which it may have saved a bunch of them from failing, but it sure didn't get the economy turned around.
Well, you know, you don't save if you want to get an economy turned around. You don't save firms that made bad decisions from failing. You let them fail.
Japan found that out in the 90s, didn't they?
That's right. That's exactly right. That all of stimulus didn't work in Japan. And so here's my take on here's how I'd like to describe what's going on. There were a few people back 2 or 3 years ago who were smart people who were saying, "Look, we're in a housing bubble, and this is really bad." And But a lot of those same people, amazingly, they're now the ones pushing mostly for the stimulus. And I find this incredible, because if the bubble's bad, you don't save the economy by trying to recreate the bubble condition.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this stimulus package is trying to do. The fact is, we got ourselves into...
So you're saying when you try to sober up a drunk, you don't give them more alcohol?
You may be able to give them enough so that the drunk feels better for a few more hours, right? But it's only going to make things worse down the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
The hangover is going to be longer and more painful. All this money, we got ourselves into a heck of a mess. And we have to get out of it. And there's no easy way out of it. There's no magic bullet. There's no magic stimulus plan. We could spend gazillions of dollars, and it's not going to make the economy better until all the resources that were used in ways they shouldn't have been used find their way into uses that are more viable
mm-hmm.
than those. And that's the only
and we're going to have
time.
And exactly. That's the thing I was going to say. It takes time. I like to give the example. A friend of mine used to be in the petroleum sludge remediation business. I mean, this was some really nasty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that he used to separate the good stuff from the bad stuff, the water and the oil and all that, so he could find something useful and get rid of the bad stuff, he used chemicals. He used centrifugation, which was a centrifuge,
mm-hmm.
and time. It took chemicals, centrifugation, and time. And without the time, none of the chemical reactions, none of that worked until enough time had gone by.
That's right. He couldn't get rid of the need for time by adding more chemicals.
So we've got all this toxic stuff. We've got all this economic sludge, folks. The problem our government has is they get nervous when time has to go by, don't they?
They do. And
they don't like it.
Because they tell, you know, the way the political process works is, you know, it encourages candidates to make promises that they can't possibly keep.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, most people don't. You know, they don't think deeply about economics because they're, you know, going about their ordinary everyday lives, and that's fine. So that some candidate comes by who doesn't know any economics. He says, you know, elect me, and you know, we'll make sure none of these. We'll get out of this problem very quickly. And it's just, it cannot happen. The bigger the bubble, the deeper the problem, the more time it takes. There is no way to avoid the problem without going through that time process.
Don, you're a laissez-faire free trader. Would you have done anything if it was President Boudreaux? Would you have done any stimulus?
I would have made the only thing I would have done is make sure that the money supply didn't contract as it did in the Great Depression. Beyond
yeah.
that, no, I wouldn't have had any stimulus. I wouldn't have saved any banks. I would just make sure that the money.
You would have just whatever happened. If they failed, they failed.
Yep.
And we just deal with it. Interesting.
Yep.
I thought you'd say that. Stand by. I told you he was a laissez-faire free trader, folks. Quick break, 10 till. Right back. When we get back, I'm going to ask Don what his advice would be for small business owners, you and me. Stay with us. And when Don gets on a tear, folks, it's a real tear. Hey, Don, talk to my audience about, you know, there's a lot of, as we said, there's a lot of fear out there. A lot of us are hurting. What I've been telling my audience is in 2009, you know, our goal should be to survive 2009, not necessarily to thrive. If you can, great, congratulations. But surviving 2009, in my opinion, will be a badge of honor. Talk to us about what you think we ought to be looking at.
Well, I agree with that completely. The bad news is, of course, tax rates are almost surely going to go up with all this spending, and that makes
yeah.
any kind of business, small, medium, large, more difficult. The good news, if there is any, you know, the economy is going through, you know, massive restructuring. It has to go through massive restructuring. Washington's trying to prevent that. It's not going to be able to prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when economies go through massive restructurings like this, you know, the bubble's sloughing off all these resources that shouldn't have been used as they were used, I think that, you know, creates countless opportunities for alert entrepreneurs and creative entrepreneurs to you know, find niches that never before existed or that were never before filled, and you know, to get talented workers and to get supplies that, you know, before may have been too costly. and actually get them and start these firms. I myself, unfortunately, am not an entrepreneur. I don't I'm not creative enough.
You've got the heart of an entrepreneur, though.
Well, I do know that the I do know economic history. I mean, and a lot of successful firms that started small and grew big, they were started by people who grabbed opportunities when they arose. And there are opportunities arising now in a way that they didn't arise in the past. I mean, they're arising today throughout 2009, let's say, probably 2010, too. They're bubbling up at an unusually, oh, I don't want to use that term, but they're arising at an unusually fast rate, I think. And so that's going to be the hope for economic, that's where the hope for economic recovery chiefly lies. It doesn't lie in, you know, giving more money to big dinosaurs like General Motors. What it does, it arises in letting entrepreneurs find and exploit opportunities and create opportunities that before were not created. Hopefully the taxes won't be that oppressive, the new regulations won't be that oppressive, and hopefully finally we'll let these big dinosaurs go the way they should go, namely die or at least go into Chapter 11, and release all these resources so that really creative people can put them to use to make our prosperity greater and put our economy in a more viable path.
Well, I like what you're saying there. I'm concerned, though, that we don't have the will. I don't think we have enough people in Washington who understand what you just said to understand that is the way out of here for us.
Well, that's the downside. And you know, it's always a race between the incompetence and ignorance of people in Washington. Mm-hmm. And the drive and creativity of, you know, people out there on Main Street. And, you know, it's amazing how much that drive and creativity can endure from Washington and still succeed.
Yep.
But, you know, ultimately, you know, Washington can smother it. And so it does remain to be seen how Washington's policies will affect it. But you can take optimism if you want looking for any source of optimism from me. I'm 50 years old now, and I've been studying these things for quite some time. And I've concluded over the years that the market, you know, free enterprise, or enterprise, is a lot more resilient than I used to think it was.
You don't think capitalism is dead?
Not yet. I don't.
But it can be killed, can it?
It certainly can be killed. I'm not saying it won't be killed.
Yeah.
We're moving in that direction, but I wouldn't go to that conclusion yet. I'm still...
Capitalism is not dead, but it is in jeopardy. Don't you agree?
Yeah. But it's not dead yet, and until it dies...
As they say in Monty Python, it's not dead yet, but folks, it can be killed. Hey, Don, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
My pleasure, Jim.
Thanks for 10 great years. Don Boudreau, ladies and gentlemen. Donald J. Boudreau on the book Globalization, if you're looking for that one. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.